She's only been administrator of the State Elections Commission for less than 2 weeks, but Megan Wolf has come to Wisconsin Eye to talk about the job and the very interesting year. Megan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, you're in a new job and not very well known, so give us the short version of your background, please.
Sure. So I started in elections with the state in 2011, and I started with the Elections Division of the Government Accountability Board as the Public Outreach Coordinator. So at the time that I came into the position, I was working on implementing the photo ID, making sure that the public stayed informed, making sure that our municipal clerks and our county clerks had the information they needed to implement the law. So I had a chance at that time to get out around the state and make sure that all corners of the state were able to hear the information they needed about the photo ID law. I've also been involved in implementing some of our agency technology that is more public-facing. Mm-hmm. So the My Vote Wisconsin website, so myvote.wi.gov, I was the project manager on that project as well. And that's a site where voters can go and find out what their registration status is. They can register to vote. They can request an online absentee ballot online. They can do all sorts of things. And that's a project that I've been really proud of. But my background with Wisconsin elections has really been working with the public, working with voters, and making sure that everyone stays informed. And then in 2017, I was appointed as the Deputy Administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And as part of that position, I've been working with our IT team, as well as our statewide voter registration team, to continue working on implementing some of those IT projects, as well as kind of the overall strategy for the Elections Commission and the agency.
Did you work for state government prior to 2011?
I did not. No, I worked in the private sector prior to that.
The private sector. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest thing you've learned about election laws and going around the state on the photo ID and everything? Just
sure.
your takeaways?
Sure. So the biggest thing I've learned is that, well, first of all, elections are really complicated. There's a lot to it.
1,800 local governments?
Yeah, that's the other thing. We have
how many polling places?
There are a lot of polling places. Just in Milwaukee alone, they have a couple hundred. So that's been the biggest thing is trying to establish those relationships with the 1,853 municipal clerks around the state, as well as the 72 county clerks. But it's also been such a huge benefits in my positions as well to have all those local connections and know those people that really have that one-on-one connection with their voters and be able to get feedback from them and work with them to make sure that our voters and Wisconsinites have the information they need about elections.
Okay, let me ask just one question to clarify.
Sure.
During the period covered by the Department of Justice report, you were off doing the photo ID and IT and all these other things?
I was completely involved and immersed in the administration of election law in Wisconsin.
Okay. Why did you want the top job?
So I think that was not necessarily something I ever thought was going to be in my immediate horizons, but I am very committed to the important work that we do at the Elections Commission and continuing that important work and making sure that we have stability and continuity is something that I knew our agency needed and something that I was willing to do to make sure that we are able to continue that. This year being an important election year, we have four statewide elections this year.
Primary, general, April.
Yeah.
Primary, August, general, November 6th, excuse me.
Yeah, there's barely a day in this entire calendar year where we don't have some type of statutory deadline that needs to be implemented in order to continue making sure that we can administer the elections this year. So having any kind of gap just isn't an option for us at the Elections Commission.
At the last meeting of the commission, the chairman, Mr. Thompson, said that the lesson learned is that our voting systems, our voting structure is now part of the national security. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So elections was designated as critical infrastructure by Homeland Security in 2016. And this is a result of all of the activity that you've been hearing about and the elevated priority given to election security. And so as part of that designation as critical infrastructure, mm-hmm. that allows us at the Elections Commission and other state elections agencies more direct access to Homeland Security, more direct access to resources to protect our elections. So it's been a very important distinction that has allowed us to continue to build on some of those relationships and utilize some of those tools that we may not have known about in the past.
And I'm going to quote from today's State Journal story. It said in 2016, quote, hackers linked to the Russian government unsuccessfully targeted election systems in Wisconsin. Is that an accurate summary of what happened, Megan?
Yes, so they were unsuccessful, and I think that's the really important takeaway there. Here in Wisconsin, I think we can be incredibly proud of how we protect our elections. At the State Elections Commission, we also partner really closely with DOA's Division of Enterprise Technology. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that host our servers. They kind of put that bubble around the state enterprise system and make sure that nobody's even able to get in that shouldn't be in the state enterprise system. So we're very fortunate that we have that relationship. And then we're also very fortunate that at the Elections Commission, we have staff that are able to build and utilize customized systems for Wisconsin elections that we develop within the commission, and then we put those on those DET servers.
Were you part of those IT firewalls, Megan?
Not the firewalls necessarily. DET does a really good job of providing that type of protection.
Department of Enterprise Technology?
Yep, okay. Division of Enterprise.
Division.
Yep.
Division of Enterprise Technology. Thank you for the correction. So, how many times did actors, and today's story said Russian government, do you believe that's the case, Russian government hackers?
From what we've heard, that is what Homeland Security is attributing two of the scanning activities that they saw to Russian actors.
That was my next question. How many attempts to...
Scanning activities, and I think even attempt is too strong
of a
word.
To a non-geek, what is a scanning activity?
You know, and this has been something we've been working on too, is trying to make sure that we have a consistent lexicon across elections and when working with the federal government to make sure that we have those terms, we're on the same page with them. But I think when we're talking about scanning activity, this is what DET and others have likened to actors that are going around in a neighborhood, shaking on doorknobs, trying mm-hmm. to see if a door is open so they can get in to potentially look for what they're looking for. And I think that that's what a scanning attempt is, just looking in general at the enterprise to see if there's a vulnerability or a way that they can get in. In this case, they were not successful. They were not successful in ever finding that door that was unlocked to get in.
They never got one door open.
Never got one door in. As a matter of fact, DET had those two IP addresses on a list of blocked addresses before they even really got to the doorknob, as they say. So,
as we go into the 2018 elections, has there been major upgrades to our systems in case the next time whoever,
right.
some actor comes knocking on the doors?
Fortunately, we haven't had to make any major upgrades because we were already doing a really good job of protecting our systems. That being said, election security is an incredibly dynamic process. We're constantly bringing in new resources, learning new information, and having to adapt our approach to make sure that we're accounting for those new pieces of information. The other piece is making sure that we're working with our local governments to make sure that they have the information they need to operate in a secure way. In terms of election security. Because in Wisconsin we have such a decentralized system, yes. you may already know this, but most other states, they operate at a county level. So the state might be responsible for training 50 to maybe 70 county clerks with elections departments on things like cybersecurity. Here in Wisconsin, we have 1,853 local municipal clerks running elections. So a big piece of our job is making sure that they have a baseline of understanding of how to operate securely when they're accessing election-related information.
When voters put their ballot in the machine, that machine is not hooked up to the internet, correct?
It is not.
And that's important.
That's very important. So the voting machines are not hooked up to any type of internet connection. They are also not directly hooked up to the statewide voter registration database.
They are not.
They are not. So all of that import and export of data, as well as things like auditing the equipment, that occurs in sort of a bubble. That is not something that occurs as part of a network.
So when a precinct, when the senior poll worker gets vote totals to the Elections Commission, mm-hmm. does that come over a secure line?
Sure. So we get
that for a very inexact term.
Sure.
But, sorry.
We get results in a variety of ways from different counties. They have municipal board of canvasses as well as county boards of canvasses that verify the results before they're submitted to us. We then have what we call our canvas reporting system. Mm-hmm. Some counties, depending on how they operate and what technology they have available, they might hand key the results into that canvas reporting system. Others are able to generate basically what is a report from their voting equipment, and then they aggregate those results and then they submit it to us. So there is a lot of things that happen in submitting those results to make sure that they are secure, but it is also a very human process, and the results are unofficial until they're certified with us. So even if there was a mistake in our Canvas reporting system, there's a trail that we'd be able to follow to figure out where the mistake was made and make sure it's corrected.
How many different types of voting equipment is used in Wisconsin? Because I know it's continually changing, and some locals have different systems, but just how many different types of ways to cast a ballot in Wisconsin?
So there are lots. I don't have an exact number, but because of our decentralized structure, basically the municipalities, and a lot of times they partner with the counties to procure voting equipment, but they basically have the option to buy anything that is certified by the federal government. So we have a lot of different machines in place in Wisconsin, but again, every single one of those has been certified by the federal government, the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, as well as through our state process. So no matter what they choose, they're choosing something secure.
Looking ahead to the November 6th election and all that's going to take place before then, is the potential for other hacking your biggest worry here as you become the administrator?
I don't know if it's my biggest worry, but it's something I'm very vigilant about and making sure that we are paying attention to and we are collecting all the resources that we can. And I only say that I'm not worried because I am so confident in the systems we have in place, as well as the partnerships that we've established with Homeland Security, as well as DET, and just our staff in-house. I think we have managed to constantly and consistently stay ahead of any issues that are out there because we are so well informed and making sure that we're vigilant on these issues.
Are you going to get the security clearance that the previous administrator had? Do you already have that?
Yeah, so I have some breaking news for you. I actually just received my interim clearance just yesterday.
Okay,
so,
and that means what? Translate.
Right, and so this has been an interesting question as well. I think what it means is that I'll have access to a little more context if there is an issue. We've always been able to have access to any actionable items. So if something happened that DHS was aware of or DET was aware of, we would still be able to put into place the protections that we needed to, even though we didn't have the context for why maybe we had to do that. Now, I will have access to that context, and it might help to inform some decisions that might be made.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's a national debate over whether you should keep printed ballots. Update us on Wisconsin. Does everyone vote? Is there a printed record?
There is. And so that's something that we do in Wisconsin. Every single ballot cast has a paper audit trail. And we saw this being utilized in the recount in 2016. Mm-hmm. So we were the only state that did a full recount of every ballot in the state of Wisconsin. And in a lot of cases, those paper audit trails were used to go back and verify that the ballots were counted accurately. And I think that the results of that recount showed that that was true.
Now, at the commission talked about the updating risk assessment by Homeland Security. Can you walk us through that process, please?
Sure. So Homeland Security offers a variety of different services that we can utilize as part of that critical infrastructure designation. And one of those is a risk vulnerability assessment, or an RVA, they call it. And what basically that does is they bring someone in to the Elections Commission, and they try to see if they can find any vulnerabilities in our system.
With no advance notice, right?
We do have to have some advance notice, and that's only because we're already so good at blocking attacks that if they didn't tell us, they wouldn't have any access to the system.
Do they give you windows? We're going to try to hack. We're going to do this risk assessment.
Right. They'll give us
May and June or something.
We're hoping that in May and June, so we have time to implement anything that they might recommend to us. But yeah, we have to coordinate it a little bit just so that we don't block their ability to test.
I see. Let them in to test.
Right.
And so they'll come in over a period of how many days and how many different attempts?
Right. From what I understand, it's a 2-week assessment of our system. And there are various components of that. Some of that's going to be looking at more of the enterprise structure. Some will be looking at our actual applications and our databases themselves. And then other things focus on the human element of it, which is things like how our users operate within their emails that might have an impact on our systems.
And then Homeland will give a final statement?
They will. Update. They'll give us a final report on what they found and also suggestions about anything that we might need to do to seal up vulnerabilities.
With, I think you said, 1,833 local clerks, are we seeing more of a turnover in clerks as the election process has become more detailed with photo ID and all these other changes?
Sure.
Is there a bigger churn?
So it always has stayed pretty consistent, but we do always have a pretty high turnover. We have about 1/3 of our election officials in the local municipalities that do turn over on an annual basis. That being said, I think it also is important to note that I think it's 2/3 or maybe closer to a half of our municipal clerks are only part-time.
Yes.
So they're working as a clerk maybe 5 to 10 hours, and then they have another full-time job. They face a lot of challenges, and I think it's a challenging position, and so that probably is what reflects some of that turnover.
A follow-up question on the homeland risk assessment.
Yeah.
Is that going to cost the state?
That is not. That's a free service through DHS. We also do routine scans with them as well. So starting in 2016, we asked them to do regular weekly scans of our system, and we've been utilizing those reports for going on 2 years now.
Before the controversy over who would be the administrator, the Elections Commission had made a request for 3 additional people.
Right.
Is your agency still understaffed?
We are. And I think that because of the increased focus on election security, we've had to divert a lot of our resources, mainly staff, to focus on those efforts. And that means there are other things within the agency that we can't spend as much time doing that also need attention. Such as things like voter outreach. And I think that that's a really important one, because making sure that the public is informed is a really important function of our agency. And we haven't been able to dedicate as much time or resources to those types of efforts. We could also use more help on the front of securing our elections. The more people we have involved in that process, testing the system, making sure that we're training clerks, that's a huge part of what we're doing, the more effective that we can be.
Now, we're all aware of the years-long debate over photo ID, and that was a policy decision that neither you nor I made. But do Wisconsin voters now generally understand that they have to show a photo ID to vote? Has that been accepted?
I think there is a lot of information out there, and it seems like the number of questions that we receive around election time has been decreasing. I think that as the clerks become more informed on the subject and the poll workers, this becomes more routine for them, that it does seem like that has been going well and that people understand the law overall.
Okay, now I'll go back to the staffing question.
Sure.
Do you plan to contemplate asking Joint Finance under a 1310 process for these 3 additional staffers, or 4, or 2, or 1?
Sure. So we have actually submitted a 1310 request.
Okay.
It was
for
submitted
how many?
For 3 positions.
Okay.
For 3 positions. And I believe one would focus on voting equipment and making sure that we have someone involved in that certification process, because that's a very complicated program area, is certifying and testing up, setting up testing campaigns and whatnot to certify voting equipment. Another would focus on voter outreach efforts. And the third would be more or less an IT staff member that would focus on election security.
Now, the commission voted to make you the administrator, subject to confirmation. Now, the Senate may vote on March 20th. After the decision by the commission, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald issued a positive statement. Have you met with Senator Fitzgerald and senators leading up to a potential vote on the 20th?
Sure. I have met with Senator Fitzgerald. I think we had a very positive meeting, and I continue to seek out those opportunities to increase that relationship that we have with the legislature and to address any concerns that they might have.
You expect to be confirmed?
I don't know the answer to that.
You want to be confirmed.
I do. I think that having continuity and stability at our agency is something that's very important, because the work that we do is just too important to have any kind of gap.
In his comments on the Senate floor, Senator Fitzgerald raised a question about his level of trust with the legal counsel for the commission. Did he raise that issue when he met with you?
We did not have that particular discussion, no.
So do you contemplate recommending any changes to the legal counsel?
As of right now, we are operating with the staff counsel, and they have a lot of important issues that they're working on as of right now, and I expect that to continue for the foreseeable future.
Are there any changes in voting laws that voters should be aware of when they vote either on April 3rd or in August on November 6th? Any new updates?
Sure. Nothing too major that will impact a voter at the election in April. However, we do have a couple of they're not law changes, but they're new things that you might see. One of those is electronic poll books. And this is a project that I'm really excited about. We actually developed an electronic poll book in-house with our staff at the Elections Commission. And we did this as part of a partnership with our municipal clerks and poll workers. So basically, we put out a prototype of what the e-poll book would look like, mm-hmm. and we've been working with them. We did over 50 usability studies where we brought in poll workers, brought in clerks, asked them to pretend to use the system, and then we made changes based on their feedback. So I think that the system we'll be piloting at the April election is one that's incredibly usable and customized for Wisconsin elections.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because if I'm a voter and I run into this pilot electronic poll book,
right.
what am I going to see in differently? Because right now, you know, I have to show a photo ID and then I have to sign my name. So yep. what's going to be different on April 3rd?
Sure. So there's only going to be the e-poll book in use for the pilot in 5 locations around Wisconsin for
Where?
April.
Where?
Oh boy, you're testing me now.
That's okay.
So Mequon, Sun Prairie, Beloit, Town of Trenton.
You're
and
close. You're doing
I'm
very well.
I'm almost there.
All right,
I can't
okay.
think of the fifth,
one other.
Yep.
And for those voters
Brookfield.
And those... Thank you. 5 for 5. Those voters, what will they see and do differently with electronic poll
books?
Sure.
So the process.
Is that the right term?
Yep.
Okay.
The process for the voter should not change a whole lot. It might be a little quicker because what the e-poll book does is it takes that paper process and that person process where when you come in, someone asks to see your photo ID, then you're asked to sign the poll book, and it automates that process. So basically, it prompts the poll worker for what they should ask from the voter, mm-hmm. And it makes sure that they deliver a very consistent experience that's also consistent with the law. So we expect that it could be quicker for some voters, but again, the pilot, the point of it is to get feedback, to make sure that it works really well for our voters and our clerks before we roll it out. For any municipal clerk who would like to. It's an optional process to use for the fall elections.
Let's go back to the staffing issue. Did the question of adding 3 additional FTEs come up with your meeting with Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald?
The
co-chairs of finance, excuse me.
Sure. I always bring that up whenever I talk to anybody at the legislature or who might be interested in the subject, just because I think it's really important to emphasize the fact that we do need more staff. So, yes, that's something I routinely bring up.
Do you expect joint finance to schedule a vote on it?
You know, I haven't heard one way or the other if they plan to do that, especially in this session. So,
with the November 6th election coming up.
Sure.
When would you need these 3 staffers so they're in place
right.
for the fall election?
I think we've been saying all along that May is kind of when we see as sort of the tipping point for that, because if someone comes on much past that, it's going to be really hard to get them up to speed so that they can be a functional contributing member of the staff prior to the fall elections.
On the job almost 2 weeks, lessons learned, first impressions?
Lessons learned. I guess that... there's a lot to do, and that, you know, I'm really, really fortunate to have the network of staff that we have, as well as the municipal clerks, as well as Homeland Security, DET, all of the partners that we have. I'm just continue to be incredibly grateful for all those relationships so that we're able to keep the important work going.
Okay, and when voters hear about all the buzz, the talk in Washington on hacking.
Right.
Again, say what's in place in Wisconsin. Are we better off?
In Wisconsin, I think we should be incredibly proud of the protections we have in place that protect Wisconsin elections. I think we have a very thorough approach to protecting elections, and I think that we are we're ahead of the curve, and we've proven that by, you know, the fact that we weren't able, or there wasn't anyone that was able to penetrate or access our system.
Megan Wolf, the new administrator of the State Elections Commission. Megan, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.